I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Can you stop the cavalry, ladies and gents? Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Manchester United won again, and Big Sam's West Brom face Aston Villa. It's Friday, 18th of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Joining Andy.
Fuck's sake, Andy!
I don't even know what you're doing.
Wish it was at Ian Wone's for Christmas.
Week till Christmas now.
And it's very close.
Yeah, so we can taste it.
Do you not know that one, Andy?
No.
Give it him later.
That is ridiculous.
If they did a drum and bass remix of it, you'd know it.
No, stop the cavalry.
Yeah, classic.
You know it, you spoiling little
I've not seen Marcus this upset for quite some time.
Since when he disrespected the darkness a minute ago.
Yes, exactly that. Is that what you're hoping for Christmas? A darkness comeback?
I think that's inevitable.
Well, he did do a comeback and he submitted a song for Eurovision and it was fantastic and it got outvoted in favour of Scooch. And he stormed off when the announcement was made, and we've not seen him since.
Good lad. Yeah. What a way to go.
Fuming.
Oh, big exit.
Yeah. Scooch, is that? Scoocher!
No, it was like a weird comedy cartoon. Uh-huh. They all dressed as cabin crew and did like a really gimmicky song, and it obviously got like nothing.
That's
no point.
Right. That's
anyway,
right.
Anyway.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday. It is Friday. And because we live in the modern era, we had Premier League football on Thursday night. I never thought I'd live to see the day.
I wish I didn't.
Thursday was always that day where, when the Cup Winners' Cup fell by the wayside, it was kind of like that was the day. Obviously, Europa League
couldn't take a breath.
Yeah.
Sacred.
Take a breath.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Take a breath.
Yes, exactly.
But you can't because we're through the looking glass now.
You cannot breathe for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, with this Premier League season. And Dean Henderson was back at his old club and made a rather big error, an early error against his former side, which he would have been very disappointed with, Luke Moore.
It was so slow. It's like it happened in slow motion.
Yeah,
it was like getting a non-professional athlete to try and kick the ball away.
Do you think he thought McGoldrick's running at me? Why, mate? We're on the same team.
Yeah, maybe he did. Maybe subconsciously he did think that.
Would that be the most unprofessional thing, Andy, if you thought you were playing for the opposition?
Well, it did. That sort of lack of concentration did sort of imply, is that Dave from the kitchens over there that I can see
in
the stand?
God, how's his family getting on?
Yeah,
yeah, it could be that. I felt that, you know, Sheffield United. So, as Ali McCoist, who I hope we come on to.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know, I just love listening to him.
We all do.
Legend in the game. Really enjoyable.
Him
just
John
the best
champion.
Yeah, just
one
of the. But I like John Champion. He's John Champion is fine. I've got no beef with John Champion. Their relationship is good.
Yeah.
But for me, Ali McCoy is the best co-commentator out there. So Ali McCoy did say a couple of times, I think, that he felt, or a lot of people have felt, that Sheffield United overachieved last season and are now underachieving this season. And I understand that. The XG, which is extrapolated across a number of games, which is where it's most useful as a stat, would suggest that. However, last night, they played okay, but I still don't think. I mean, if you look at how the two goals they scored actually came about, it wasn't really much to write home about. I mean,
never mind that. I don't think you're going to win many games defending like that.
No, absolutely not. And I know Man United's front four in that shape is dangerous and threatening. But you know, even if you look at the second goal Sheffield United scored, Marcus, it's a foul. I don't know how it's not been called as a foul. I don't know how VAR hasn't looked at that.
Henderson may have thought it was a foul because the way he sort of didn't sort of really move for it and then pick the ball out. I think he was expecting it to be given or something, was he, to give him perhaps the benefit of the doubt?
I think he probably was. The second goal Sheffield United score, if you watch the replay, I don't know who it is. It might be, I mean, I don't want to besmirch anyone.
No, it
might have been Fleck, it might have been Egan. Someone puts a massive elbow on a Man United defender as the ball comes. It's a blatant foul.
Let's say it's Brian Dean.
It wasn't given. It wasn't given. So, you know, other than that, I mean, I know they had quite a few shots. They're in big, big trouble. When we talked about them a few weeks ago, maybe even a month or two ago now, you thought, well, it's a bit early to say whether they're in big trouble.
No, they feel done.
They're done now. They are in massive, massive
trouble. They are on track to finish with 2.97 points. So let's round that up to three.
give them a three.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we want to be rounding down with Sheffield United, though, rather than rounding up.
2.5 points. Well, they've won fewer points after the first 13 games of a league season than any other team in English top flight history.
Ever.
That's not one of those Premier League records.
Andy, he's going back to the 1890s.
1880s.
1880s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I do feel
back
very,
when Kanu was playing.
Yeah. I do feel very sorry for Aaron Ramsdale. Wimbledon hero, Aaron Ramsdale.
He doesn't make enough saves for me.
That is trouble.
He should have done a lot better with the second one.
Yeah.
The Martial one, I thought.
Have you seen his clean sheet record? His clean sheet record is obscene.
Well, and also with Rashford.
I mean, is there one this season?
He's got like 5 clean sheets and 50 top flight appearances or something.
But Rashford as well, though, his second goal, which was a beautiful move, goalkeeper would be disappointed with himself.
Yeah, absolutely. I do wonder with Ramsdale, because of course he moved from Bournemouth back to Sheffield United, from whence he originally came. I do wonder if he's on track to become the new Herman Hrydesson. You know, you're thinking about the player who's been relegated the most times, a player who's flipped between Premier League strugglers and ends up getting relegated on a number of occasions. If anyone has been relegated more than Herman Hrydesson, I would love, from the Premier League, I would love to hear about
he's
it.
A legend
at footballramble.com.
He's a legend at Fratton Park. A legend. I thought Nigel Quarsley had the record, but that could be old info.
Well, maybe that's right, yeah.
It could well do. Manchester United, though, it was a better performance for them despite Dean Henderson. We should give Dean Henderson a little bit of credit because, I mean, he made a decent save late on. I think that save was over-egged slightly.
Yeah, because it was good for the narrative.
Yeah,
still, he made the save and he recovered. Solskjaer said about Henderson, he never went chasing the game. He didn't look for jobs.
Yeah.
So he's still a footballer.
I'm done here. It was on the bins. No, I understand what Solskjaer means by that because I think there is a tendency if you're somebody who wants to do well and you can start trying a bit too hard, going looking for things to do to kind of absolve yourself of your sins.
And especially in his situation where it's made as such a, not just him going back to Sheffield United, but the fact that he's replacing De Gea, it is, you know, a big night, capital A, capital B, capital N.
Yeah, because Solskjaer also said, didn't he, Marcus, that he'd have been looking forward to this for a very long time.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Manchester United became only the third team in Premier League history, not English top flights. We're only going back to the early 1990s here. The third team in Premier League history to win their opening 6 away games of the season. Chelsea in 08-09 and Man City 2017-18. And, you know, they're not far off the top. They've got a game in hand, haven't they?
It's so strange.
It is.
Because, I mean, I know they're a good counter-attacking team and everyone was saying that on the TV last night as well. And I totally understand that. And it's just when they're not expected to counter-attack, then they kind of come unstuck. But it seems absolutely baffling to me that they're still in the hunt, the top of the table, basically, because the narrative around them is that Solskjaer is essentially on borrowed time.
No, he's not, is he?
Well, he won't be, will he? Because for reasons that we've discussed in the past.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know they've gone out of the Champions League. You could argue, okay, it was a tough group, but they'll be disappointed with that.
It was a tough group, though, wasn't it?
It was a tough group, though. And
I mean, was it the start that they made to that Champions League campaign that makes us think it's a failure?
Yeah, you're picking up 9 points.
It is a failure.
Yeah, but, of course it is. Of course it is. But they wouldn't be the first big side to go out in the group stage of the Champions League. You know, they're sixth. They're on 23 points. They have a game in hand on everybody around there. They're a point above Chelsea and have a game in hand on them. I know their goal difference is slightly less than some of the other sides, but that perhaps is an unnecessary detail at this stage of the season. We've praised Lampard and Chelsea about how they've turned things around. I think rightly so, but Manchester United are above them in the table and a game in hand.
And if they win the game in hand, they go above Spurs in the second. So, I mean it's crazy. It is crazy.
None of this season makes sense.
No. But there is
no one is good, well, depending on which way you look at it.
There is a long way to go. And it is a very, very close table, as I think you mentioned earlier in the week, Marcus. It's, you know,
well,
it's,
it is, factually is.
8 points to... Yeah, no, but you pointed it out. Give yourself a bit of credit.
Wow.
Listen, you noticed it.
Yeah, no one else had.
You're the one who said it.
I said, oh, you lot, you're thinking it's the season's finished.
Yeah.
Have a look.
Because sometimes you say stuff that isn't true. And that unsettles me.
Can you give me an example?
Like earlier when you were saying you think Sheffield you're not going to get out of this, no problem. And then Fulham will be Europa League.
I said Sheffield, actually. Much to Chris Wilder's chagrin. Yeah. Yeah. Did you see that in the press the other day?
Yeah.
When a reporter, was it Norwegian reporter?
Yeah, Lars Sivertsen's.
But it happens a lot with European footballers, journalists. They'll say things like Manchester as well and Sheffield.
Well, that was the point that he brought up. Would you say Manchester for Manchester United?
A lot of people do.
They do.
Paul Pearce said no.
Robinho did.
Not anymore since the advent of City.
But you know what it's like.
If you go, top. But yeah, absolutely.
But if you go abroad, especially to, say, like Africa or Asia, a lot of people say, I support Manchester.
Yeah.
And they still mean Manchester United.
Fuming.
I mean, it'll perhaps change maybe younger generations. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Would you rather have people just say Manchester and say Arsenal, or would you have them say Manchester United and Arsenal London?
Well, you get those absolute perverts on Twitter, don't you, who pull you up for saying it's not actually Inter Milan.
Yeah.
It's Internacional. Yeah. You wouldn't say Arsenal London, would you? And yes, I am looking at you, Andy Brassel. Yeah. A lot of your mates
you
are
say
like
Woolwich Arsenal.
Yeah.
To remember their roots.
But do you find, going back to Chris Wilder...
Actually, I never come
out going back to Chris Wilder, Andy.
I silently judge you.
Yeah. I said your mates. Silently. I said your mates.
Look, Andy's a big fan of Atletico Bilbao, okay? I'm going to leave it there.
But do you guys find Chris Wilder... I don't know what it's like. I know a lot of people have hammered Amazon for their coverage. I've actually found it okay. I've not had any technical problems or anything like that, and they've run it in HD on and I've been able to use it, so maybe I've just got a good internet
connection. The game's on and you can hear Koisty, come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, buffering at key moments makes it more exciting, I think.
Mine doesn't buffer, that's the point. I've not been able to replicate that. In the words of an IT support member of staff, I haven't been able to replicate the problem.
When the pandemic's over, all round Luke's.
But Chris Wilder looked like quite frightening on HD last night, because he's got a lot of quite deep lines in his face.
Yeah.
He looks like he's seen things, and he looks like he would tear a strip off you. And he also, at this point in the season, he now looks like he's tired of doing it.
Mm. No, I know what you mean. Yeah, he could, if he had a military past.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
Or even future.
Yeah.
Well, it could be
Chris Wilder, Johnny Army. He's like, he can't imagine the rest of the season.
I mean, Nigel Pearson, I assume that's what he's done.
Yeah.
I mean, are we saying they're in the sort of hole now? Because you to me sounded like you were describing Joe Cocker. Maybe it's Sheffield bias there.
Yeah.
But
you've got a bit of Joe Cocker about
it. I just wonder if he could, like, you know, belt out a Joe Cocker number on the pitch.
Oh,
at the end, if Sheffield United stay up. I mean, he's about as far from Phil Brown as you can possibly imagine. But I think it would be nice to make a nod to one of our favourite
What do you do if you've only one draw and you're struggling? Get by with a little help from his teammates.
Just remind me, because Marcus, Andy's the expert here, so maybe we should just check with him. Talking about Sheffield United staying up and Chris Wilder celebrating, what's the cut-off going to be this year? Is it look like it'll be about 3-4 points? Because unless it's three, they're in big trouble.
Big trouble.
Yeah. And by the way, can I just call out Vish publicly here?
Yeah, go on.
Not because he's disrespected my game and disrespected the people's champion, but because...
Let's praise him for that.
I know he's scored two goals last night, but Vish said that he thinks David McGoldrick is perfectly fine and exactly what they need, blah blah blah. He isn't. That's me saying that after he scored two last night.
Well, there you are.
And I still feel the same way.
Yeah. Well, you don't even think the second one should have counted, do you?
Sir? I don't. And the first one was obviously just a proper Ian Wright. You never know what's going to happen.
You're going to give him half a goal for each of those, even though it's against Manchester United?
Yeah, it probably evens itself out. Actually, not these days, Man United. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, well, Manchester United, they are playing Leeds United on the weekend.
How exciting.
Well, it is.
It is exciting.
It is. Yeah. It's a fixture that we've seen many, many times over the years. Mm. We remember that lovely 4-3 at Elland Road.
Yeah,
a number of years ago now.
You say that, Marcus. But
that happened.
You know what? I'm needing reminding of all these games because they're so long ago.
Yeah,
that it's so long since Manchester United played Leeds in the Premier League. I mean, the first game, when I saw this fixture was coming up, the first game that sprung to mind for me was that one, 10 years ago when they were top of League One and they went to
FA
Old Trafford and Jermaine Beckford scored.
Yeah.
That was the one that immediately sprung up for me. Not the 4-3 at Elland Road that you were talking about and that Luke circulated around our WhatsApp group.
Yeah, yesterday. That was one that stuck in my mind. 2002, Leeds were an interesting team then and Viduka. I think Viduka might have had a really good record against Man United from memory.
He might have done.
And he definitely got one or two. And Man United looked like they were home and hosed at 4-1 and Leeds United brought it back. It was always a really good fixture to look forward to this every season in the Premier League.
There's no love lost between those two.
Nah, definitely not, and there probably still isn't. But Man United, I mean, I think it's obviously a completely different challenge playing Leeds United. Mm. You know, you look at the type of goals that Sheffield United conceded last night. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rashford's goal was so good because from a Man United point of view, because it was a load of really simple things done well. A good outside to in run, well-timed, good first touch, good finish. But from Sheffield United's point of view, that's a piece of piss. You shouldn't be conceding that. And then, you know, United still managed to kind of squeak past last night, even though, as we said, the second goal for Sheffield United wasn't a corner and was a foul in the build-up, or as the ball came over. So Leeds United are a completely different proposition. Mm. And it's even though there won't be, I don't actually know if there will be any fans, will there be a few? Regardless, it's not going to be as we've seen
in
the past.
Tier they're in. I think it's probably tier three. But anyway,
the crowd were always massive in those types of games.
Yeah, there are no fans in this game. They are in tier three, I believe.
Okay.
The last Premier League meeting was in 2004, I think. But the last game they played was in 2011, which was a League Cup game. Mm. Just certain Paul Pogba played the second half.
Very nice.
That day.
Excellent pogs at Sheffield United, by the way. Excellent pogs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Solskjaer sums it all up with regards to playing Leeds when he said, "We have been waiting for years."
Yeah.
Menacing.
And Solskjaer scored in that 4-3. He might have actually got two. I think he did a textbook Solskjaer and got two in like 2 minutes. And I should say that last night on the Amazon coverage, Roberto Martinez said something amazing. I don't know if you guys picked up on it. When he was asked about how Sheffield United need to kind of pick themselves up and finally win a game. They just need to get over that hump. And Martinez says, yeah, they really need to get the monkey out of the bag.
Lovely.
I've never heard that before.
Lovely.
That's good.
Yeah. Mixing two metaphors, which we very much appreciate.
Absolutely.
Aston Villa drew 0-0 with Burnley, a less entertaining game, of course, despite
I didn't like it.
Despite their 27 shots they had, Villa, El Ghazi had 8 shots alone and sliced every single one, I think.
Yeah.
But
it's funny that, because Philippe Auclair put out a brilliant metaphor on Twitter yesterday where he's talking about Pogba. He was saying, on a night like that, it feels like he has every club in the golf bag because there's such an incredible variety of passing.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the only one that El Ghazi had was the sand wedge, really, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I like El Ghazi. He seems like a real character, though.
Yeah,
and didn't they wheel him out for the interview afterwards as well?
Wheel him out?
Yeah, they did.
not like 45. Yeah. Over the hill.
Villa hit the woodwork a couple of times as well, I think, and it was one of those things. But
nil point.
The big story here.
Come on.
Is
it's a Midlands derby.
It's the fact that Big Sam is back. Oh, Blue Eyes is back.
Come on.
Tie around the head. Oi.
Absolutely right. It's his first game in charge. He's raring to go. He said, "I'm hungrier and more determined than ever because I've rested longer than I ever wanted to rest." Oh, this is kind of superhero stuff.
He also said, "The break went on so long and I had so much pent-up energy and this is where I can expend that." I mean, Jesus. What is he planning?
Well, I think he's going to come out to that Calvin Harris and Rihanna song, isn't he? I mean, that's pretty clear.
Out of a helicopter. like the Queen and James Bond at the 2012 Olympic opening ceremony. Big Sam slamming into the centre circle.
Cigar on.
Yeah, cigar on, like at the end of Free Willy when the whale jumps over the kid. Big Sam comes flying over the stadium. and then does this. Right. Let's get on with it.
Yeah.
Let's get on with the game. Imagine that. Remember when he was laughing at Chico Flores?
Oh, yes.
There's going to be plenty of that, surely.
He can't believe his luck. And neither can I, quite frankly. I mean, he... He also said he was asked if he was looking forward to facing the likes of Klopp and Guardiola and Mourinho, and he said, "I just hope I can wind them all up again. That's all I want. Wind them up again.
Yeah.
He's done it before. He could do it some more, Andy."
Would you love a bit?
I'll tell you what, he's flattering himself a little bit there, isn't he?
I don't know. Do you know what? To be fair to Big Sam, Mourinho actually, I think, once said a number of years ago that setting up teams in England, this would probably go back to his... Well, yeah, because I think he was Inter manager at the time, or maybe he was...
What, Big Sam?
Yeah. he was Inter Milan Nacional manager, and yeah. Wherever he was, Mourinho, he was talking about the differences between Italy and England, and said in England, you know, at the time, a number of years ago, it was fairly predictable, a lot of, especially the more British coaches, how they would line up. You know, you'd think they're probably going to play sort of 4-4-2. There's not much tinkering going on. He said in Italy, every game was like a game of chess sometimes. But he said one of the coaches, he found it more difficult to predict what he was going to do, and he was a little bit more tinker heavy, was Big Sam. He said, actually...
I think that's right, though.
Sometimes, you know, and we all
Mourinho,
laugh and...
Mourinho only ever says nice things about you if you're absolutely insignificant.
No, that is a fair point. That is a fair point, to be... Yeah. Okay.
But I think both those things can be true, Andy. I think we can enjoy talking about Big Sam on this show for obvious reasons, which we do. But I don't think it is accurate to say that... I mean, I think it was Vish yesterday said that with Big Sam, you know what you're going to get. And that's probably fair, because on one level, you're going to get good organisation. Mm-hmm. They're going to play perhaps in a certain way. But what he doesn't get credit for, Big Sam, is, you know, the implementation of all these quite forward-thinking technologies. He goes for...
Yeah, it doesn't fit with the squared image, does
and he
it?
Change things around. I remember, 2010, which is when Inter won the treble, was that right, 2010?
Yeah.
Would have been that season.
Yeah.
Big Sam was at Blackburn, and he came in after Paul Ince. And, nice gig if you can get it, because I think they won about three games.
Yeah.
But Big Sam came in, and he actually went on a really good run.
Yeah.
Because he, not just because a big fat man's walked into the studio and gone, right, try harder. There's a bit more to it than that.
But look at the way he kept Palace up that time, was it? Well, that was a remarkable job. Mm. And I think it was, who was the two players? It might have been Patrick van Aanholt and another Dutch player who played under Big Sam. I can't remember. They were in a car. It was a YouTube video. And they were both talking about what it was like being managed under him. And they said that, well...
Is it Yara Riederwald, maybe?
I can't remember, to be perfectly honest with you. But they were talking about Big Sam Allardyce, and they were saying it's funny how, you know, if you're playing in the centre of midfield, you know, you just sort of look at the ball going over your head all the time, and you know, he tells you to do all these really basic things like run faster and do simple jobs and all this kind of stuff, and you're a bit like, this guy doesn't really know what he's talking about. And he said, but then you see the results and you see the performances, and actually he's like, oh, this stuff kind of works. Because from the Netherlands, you know, again, very different country in terms of football tactics and footballing culture, and they were like, oh, to be fair to him, this is it was working. And then he said, I mean, you don't see him between like, you know, Monday and Thursday because he's in Dubai, you know.
but Danny Murphy and I think I interviewed Bobby Zamora, they both said the same thing about Hodgson.
That's right, yeah.
It becomes second nature, these patterns of play. These
Hodgson's very zonal, isn't he?
Yeah,
whereas
exactly.
I think Big Sam, you would probably say there'll be a bit of that, but you probably is more man to man.
But Andy, how
I
do you
want to see more of this current, I want to see more of this show of current players discussing their manager's tactics while in a car.
Yeah,
I think that sounds brilliant.
Be like, what's his name? Seinfeld.
How's it in January?
Getting coffee.
How much do you think he's going to pay for Andy Carroll?
Well, I'll tell you what, they had Yuri Djorkaeff on the cover of L'Équipe magazine the other week.
Oh, what a player. There and played under Big Sam.
Obviously he did, yeah.
All the greats did.
Yeah.
All the greats did.
All the greats.
Djorkaeff is a great.
Djorkaeff is a great,
But you said all the greats played under Big Sam.
Ivan Campo.
Yeah. JJ Okocha.
Another one.
Yeah.
You know, yeah,
Rivaldo.
Mario Jardel.
Yeah, Jardel did.
He wasn't great at the time, was
he? No.
Yeah. Well, of course, he's taken over from Slaven Bilic, who once was full of praise for Big Sam when he got the England job in 2016. I think Sam will do well. The players will respect him. He's a big man. He's Big Sam. You see him on the television. He fills the screen. That's a bit disrespectful. You are looking for the board with the sponsors' names behind. What?
Yeah.
Is it Coca-Cola or Pepsi? I can't quite see.
Yeah.
Where have they gone? You can't see them. I was talking about the advertising board. I mean, the way it started, he's a big man. He's Big Sam. You see him on the television. It's like the opening of some sort of 70s cop film or something.
In a world where the screen needs filling. Big Sam is here. All right.
It's going to be great. And it's a derby as well.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We want to get Jack Grealish diving in front of Big Sam, right in front of the bench.
Yeah.
Taking a dive, getting up, winning a foul, putting his socks off or whatever, and Big Sam laughing away.
Oh, yeah. You know what you are? You're a meme-hungry pervert.
I am. I only really watch football for the memes now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Pete Donaldson sends them to me. Listen, if you're enjoying what we do on the show today and every other day, which we hope you are, please drop us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods. But Apple Podcasts would be the preferred platform, I would say. Mm. It'll make all of us very happy, but more importantly, it will hopefully get other potential listeners to find the show a bit more easily. I've heard hot off the press that actually, having listened to this show today, Big Sam's just given us a 5-star review. So it's good enough for Big Sam. It's good enough for you. He may have thought he was reviewing a restaurant he just popped into on the way down.
Wings.
Yeah. But nevertheless, we've got the 5-star review and he can't take it back. So follow Big Sam's lead. Give us a 5-star review. We'll love you forever. And we'll even bestow upon you the title of Friend of the Ramble.
Pints of wine all round.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week on Stakhanov.
Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy releases a brand new episode exploring the hot topic of head injuries in football. As well as exploring the sport's link with dementia with neuropathologist Dr. Willie Stewart, Melissa spoke to ex-Tottenham star Ryan Mason, who was forced to retire after a devastating head injury aged 26.
I couldn't look at light. I was sleeping for like 20 hours a day. I couldn't really hold a conversation. Like I say, when the brain gets an injury, the body almost just instinctively responds and it almost just shuts everything else down.
Meanwhile, self-care club Wellness Road Tested have launched a brand new epilogue show. Join Lauren and Nicole every Friday, where they'll be hearing about your experiences, talking to the experts, and reading the very best wellness literature in the self-care book club.
I think it's a totally life-changing book for sisterhood and womankind. It's revolutionary in how to adopt self-love and live for who you are.
Search Between the Lines and Self Care Club on your favourite podcast player.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
1991 campaign when you played for Sheffield. Then you got your
Sheffield United pair. Sheffield United. Sheffield United pair.
Sheffield United, yeah.
You don't say that when you're talking to Ollie, do you? Manchester.
No, I don't. Sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah. Because I respect Ollie. Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway, everybody.
That's all right.
I like it when he points out Sheffield United and he goes,
It's a bit passive aggressive. Really ill, and then go, that's all right.
To be fair, Sheffield, a very important city in the history of football.
Absolutely.
Sheffield rules. The first football club, Andy.
Yeah.
Surprise you.
Andy, chime in with that. Come on. Get with the programme, Andy.
I'm going to chime in with this.
Just even a show at footballramble.com. Right now, so Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Yes, indeed. And we have had an email from Steve Hancock.
Ooh.
The one and only Steve Hancock, Cockles, the big cock. He's emailed in saying, saying, just a quick one to point out that Mikel Arteta doesn't really fit the hirsute fraud mould for me. This is relating to Jim Campbell, referring to Mikel Arteta as a hirsute fraud rather than the thing that Pep Guardiola gets called on Twitter, which is a bald fraud, mental. So that's the back narrative there. And Steve goes on to say, given the promising nature of his start, followed by a rapid decline, I'd suggest that he is perhaps just Tim Sherwood with an international baccalaureate. You're still fuming about me calling Lampard Tim Sherwood day levels.
I'm not fuming.
And since then, I will admit, if the trajectory's like this, Sherwood's gone even further down with some of the stuff he's been doing on TV, and Lampard's gone up.
Yeah.
So there has been a kind of departure, a diversion.
Would you prefer it if Luke said with four A levels?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Because that was impressive at the time.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Very impressive. Did he take Aston Villa to an FA Cup final?
I think he might well have done that. Yeah, I think that's possibly true. But what do you get anything for that?
Silver medal, do you?
No, it's like all the Spurs fans dishing out their own Premier League title in November. Doesn't mean anything.
Naughty. Andy, you've got an email, haven't you?
Yes, I do. It's from John Hemming. He says, I was at St Andrews watching a Birmingham game with my dad's son years ago. Mm. We scored right on half time to go 1-0 up. As the euphoria of the goal subsided, my father pulled out a Petit Filou yogurt pot from his pocket and proceeded to remove its lid. Baffled, I asked him if eating it with his bare hands might not be a bit messy and, considering the public setting, a humiliating task. With a satisfied grin on his face, without saying a word, he produced from his top pocket, a shiny silver teaspoon,
love
which
that.
He held above his head for several seconds before tucking into his well-planned half-time snack. What sort of football ground would let you bring a teaspoon?
Look, this is great dad behaviour. We've asked for these emails. Thank you very much to John for sending it in. To me, a Petit Filou yogurt
is
very delicious, but it's not going to sate you at half time at a cold football ground.
No, exactly. Anyway,
have it at the end of a burger or something.
I don't know, but the goal went in, and he thinks, "What can make this even sweeter?"
you have to have about five of them to have a proper snack.
Yeah, you want a froob because then you don't need the spoon. Do you?
So. What does Petit Filou mean in English, Andy?
Little Phil.
It's like they're made by Scolari. Big Phil Scolari.
That's it.
I'd love to see Phil Neville eating a Petit Filou.
I'm just having the... just opening it up now.
Oh, no, it's... I've dropped it everywhere and it looks like I've... Anyway.
on the beach, it's all sandy. Get Fizzer to do one of those eye dents after the ad break.
Oh, I know you're talking.
Yeah, you have to turn it up a bit.
There we are, ladies. There we are. I love Fizzer. Let me tell you, I went to a quiz once, and Fizzer was the quiz master.
Quizzer with Fizzer?
Yeah.
Fizzer quizzer?
Big Fizz was the quiz master.
Is he any good?
With Manish. Remember Manish?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
I say remember him. He's still about. Sorry, yeah. Manish, that's disrespectful. I didn't mean that at all. Fine presenter.
Yeah.
Again, Phil Neville looked like the type of guy who he kind of puts his foot in it. A lot. Do you know what I mean? He kind of makes faux pas, but doesn't mean to.
Yeah, of course.
He will offend people.
The heir to Keegan? Could be. You know when all those players were seen as the next Maradona and no one came along for ages until Messi? I think Phil Neville might be the new Keegan.
Say that, but they're long shoes to fill.
They are.
Let's go back.
And they're always in the bucket.
They are.
That's the problem.
Let's go back to the Premier League. Tottenham Hotspur face Leicester City this weekend. That's a fixture.
It's a thigh rubber.
Moo against Brendy.
Could be a thigh rubber. It is a thigh rubber.
I'd say so.
Would it go full evolution into a barn burner on Monday?
I'm worried that this could be a boring game because both teams will be sitting off each other.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It could be
waiting
like
for something
that
to happen.
Yeah, Spurs will definitely think to themselves, ah, they like to counter-attack. Well, we will counter their counter.
Wow, it's getting a bit meta.
It really is. Yeah. So, I mean, Leicester, they're still fourth. Again, you see Leicester, you think, well, they've had a couple of sloppy results recently. Mm. They've only lost they've lost three in their last five, and yet 4 points off the top.
And I think Leicester are, I mean, the difference between Spurs and Leicester for me is that Leicester are obviously pretty inconsistent.
Mm.
You know, you're right to point out their stats, Marcus, and the thing is they've won eight and lost five, which is kind of crazy to think that they're still in fourth position, having done
well,
that
shows you. Yeah, five. I mean, usually the, you know, sides who finish in the top sort of two or three. I mean, certainly the league leaders will probably not lose five games all season.
Well, if we're talking about Sheffield United perhaps getting 3 points in total all season, if we're going to pro-rata that out, you're basically saying that Leicester are going to lose 15 games this season.
Mm.
I mean, which is obviously crazy. And I agree with what Roberto Martinez said last night, actually. He only mentioned it very briefly.
Mm.
But he said the game between Liverpool and Spurs was of a very high quality.
Yep.
And I think watching that game, mm-hmm. the fine margins that were within it, you could make a decent argument, Andy, couldn't you, that Liverpool and Spurs are the two best teams in the league at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I still think it would be a huge feather in the cap for Spurs to win this and win this with some comfort. I think the interesting thing with Leicester, I'm not 100% sure they quite know what they are yet. Because with Spurs, they totally know what they are. I mean, you know, before we get onto Leicester's mink coat midfield, I think Spurs midfield knows exactly what it is. It's functional. It's there to feed Kane and Son, and that's fine. Whereas Leicester, like I said, you kind of feel that they need to develop, and you know, you want to see a really expansive game from them, which I'm not sure is necessarily feeding their best strengths, especially with their best strength being Jamie Vardy. Also, I'm sure there are Leicester fans listening to that, Luke, who will say, well, if, you know, projecting forward and talking about them losing 15 games this season is a bit fanciful, etc., etc. I think they have got an enormous chance in the Europa League going forward to at least replicate what Wolves did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, you look at where they are, you look at the way they went through the groups, you look at the squad they've got, you look at the draw they've got.
Who have they got?
Slavia Prague, I think.
Okay, right.
Who are backed by Chinese money, but still a team that you would expect Leicester to roll over. So they're looking good for the last 16 at the very least. I think they can go deep into this competition. I think they're very, very suited to European competition. And there's no doubt in the quality they've got as well. So can they sustain a push for the top four and go deep into the Europa League? I think they might have to commit to one at one point, which is, you know, obviously fraught with danger. But
I also think that one thing we should mention is now that we're looking at Wilfred Ndidi coming back up to speed. He's a really important player for them.
Mm-hmm.
He's
super
been out
important.
For a while. Really,
super
really good. One of the standout midfielders of that type in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they were beaten badly at home by Everton. But I didn't think Ndidi played actually too badly in that game. And he's a really key part of their first 11. And as he gets his match fitness back after that injury, he's going to be key for them as well.
Mm. You mentioned about Tottenham Hotspur fans giving themselves titles and awards and so on. Well, one of their players did win an award this week at the FIFA Best Awards.
Yeah,
it was Son Heung-min, of course, for his goal. He won the Puskás Award for his goal against Burnley.
And wasn't that a polite smile on receiving the...
It was.
Did he do it on Zoom?
On receiving it, yeah.
On Zoom, yeah.
Yeah, there was apparently Mourinho had a quite a strange congratulatory video message where he looked like he's pissed in the back of a cab.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Are we saying in this show that all football media should be conducted from a cab? Because I have to say, I think that's a very irresponsible attitude in the current environment.
I told you about the time that story.
Maybe a stretch limo.
Yeah.
I told you that time when someone said that there was a journalist interviewing Big Sam in a car once, where they were in transit, and Big Sam was being passed Werther's Originals by Sammy Lee. And Sammy Lee had his trousers down because he doesn't like, he was a bit hot and he doesn't.
Oh, he's always in shorts.
Yeah.
That's mad.
Werther's Originals.
That's absolutely mad.
It's very, very believable. Yeah.
You know what? I don't really care if you've made that up.
No, I was told that genuinely by... I 100%
I thought you were
going to
say
that.
I was there.
No.
Were you passing the Werther's Originals to Sammy Lee?
On the Puskás Award,
yeah.
Can I... Marcus, I'm probably going to catch a bit of flack from you for this.
Yeah.
Yes, obviously the Son goal was a brilliant goal.
Mm.
But those,
he just ran in a straight line.
No, but those types of goals... No, I'm not going to be as... No, hang on a minute.
It's not my ref, you've got to worry about.
Hang on a minute. those types of goals, is it fair to say, just meet me halfway here, I'm not going to do the kind of, you know, the proper, you know, contrary for the sake of it, trying to get a headline. Meet me halfway here and admit that for those types of goals to be scored, the defending generally has got to be abysmal.
Did you say this about Maradona's against England?
No, because I hate Terry Butcher.
Yeah, but there were other players he went past.
I also hate Terry Fenwick.
Any other Terrys?
No, not really.
About Terry Christian.
But do you understand what I mean? Is it not, if a ball comes over and you're 30 yards out and you spank one on the volley off the crossbar, that's to me more impressive because there doesn't need to have been any mistakes involved.
But
the George Weah goal that he scored for Milan, the famous one, terrible defending. It bounces off him about four times.
You see, none of these goals, though...
I'm not sure I agree with you.
I don't agree either. None of these goals...
He's fuming over there,
None
Andy.
Of these goals really benefit from analysis. What you're doing, I think, you're heading towards... You know that thing that sort of some smart asses do at Christmas where they bring out that medical report of the injuries that the Wet Bandits would have received from Kevin in Home Alone. I don't care.
No,
it's a great scene.
But that's fictional, isn't it? That's fictional.
Yeah, but I think with regards to the volley, I know what you mean. However, we see players who, you know, it's like a boxer getting a lucky punch with a volley. Once in a while, you know, an average player with not great technique can score that type of volley, whereas that type of goal Son scored, I don't think...
It's a great goal.
I agree. I mean, some of the greatest, like, overhead kicks and strikes from range, you know, people will always say, spoilers will always say, Wayne Rooney shinned it against Manchester City, Benjamin Pavard sliced it against Argentina, all that sort of stuff. Who cares?
No, I don't actually care. I'm just saying that the defenders in that Sun goal, it happens all the time. Not all the time, but a lot with defenders when this kind of thing starts to manifest itself as the game develops. Yeah. And the defenders seem to get into some kind of mass hypnosis, but they all just start diving in all over the place and start panicking, and it makes it easier for the forward player.
Well, how many times did Burnley get caught on the counter-attack? I can understand it.
I don't want to take anything away from the
guy. This is all futile because Andy described the FIFA Best Award as meaningless shite. Yeah.
It's a misquote, but that was the general thrust of what I was getting at.
Well, what did you want to say then, Andy?
I'm not really into individual awards. It's not my thing. But what I find extraordinary about these FIFA awards is even though I consider individual awards in a team sport and a team sport like football as being essentially meaningless, the fact that Hansi Flick didn't win the best coach award really angered me.
Why does that annoy you if it doesn't matter?
Yeah, it doesn't. It's meaningless.
Exactly.
Well,
that is the question.
That's how they get you in, though. That's how they get you in.
At the end of the season, when you vote for your Rambler of the season, don't bother voting for Andy because he won't appreciate it.
No. And it listen, mate, Marcus, with you on the show, there's no way Andy's going to win.
Exactly. The influence I have on
people's champion. The people's champion. I tell you, it would be an embarrassment if you didn't win.
Well, it would
after
be.
The people's champion.
It certainly would be. But one thing we should say.
All the pressure's on you.
One thing we should say, though, actually, is Lucy Bronze won the gold. She was voted best women's player. And I think that is a big thing, actually.
First ever England player to do so, is that right?
First English player to win the FIFA, the best FIFA. I love it. It's the
it's
best.
A terrible name.
It's an awful
as well.
Name, isn't it?
Yeah.
But so well done her.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was only a year and a half ago, I think, that England manager Phil Neville said, she's the best in the world.
Did she dedicate it to Fizzer?
I don't think so.
Ah,
but well done. Robert Lewandowski, he won the best men's player, which only the second time in 13 years Ronaldo and Messi haven't won it, Andy. Big news.
You're
anyway.
Not going to get him on board, Mark. Stop.
No, let's move on. Do you want to talk about Gennaro Gattuso?
Yeah, go on then.
That's there you go. He's back and forth now.
He was spouting off, and we love it when he does.
Yeah.
This was when Lorenzo Insigne was shown a straight red for dissent during a defeat to Inter in midweek. Sorry. He said, "I played in Scotland and still follow Scottish football. Let me tell you, it would never happen there. Players swear at refs and tell the referees to fuck off all the time, and nothing happens." Yeah, that's more of a... That's poor on Scottish
football.
But
the thing is, I understand the point he's trying to make, but he's just undermining his own argument by saying, in another country, in the 90s, it was different.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
many,
apparently
many years ago.
Yeah.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
They probably didn't understand what he was saying. He said, when I was a player in Scotland, the referee would show some common sense and understand that after a dubious penalty, a player can say, off, and the official should pretend not to hear
it's
it.
It's on them. It's on them. Yeah.
We all know what we're doing here.
Yeah. I asked them, Howard Webb about that once.
Oh, yeah.
And said, why is it if you play Saturdays or Sundays, if you you know, tell a referee to F off, you get sent off straight away. And, you know, fair enough. Mm. I understand that's the laws. But on TV, they do it.
But it doesn't always happen on a Sunday or a Saturday.
No, but just because we see it, it doesn't mean that the referee can hear it. Well, and it's quite kind. I think,
well, you don't need to hear what Howard were about to say about it, because Andy's already said it.
When you've got a full ground, I think it's quite a good get out, isn't it, to say, I didn't hear.
Well, that's what Howard Webb said. He said the TV angle will be deceptive and the crowd is noisy. Mm. And I pushed him on it a bit and said, oh, well, look, come on. Surely you've heard it a few times, but you just can't send off five players a game or whatever. And he was like, no, it's not that. But I think it was.
And yeah, was he. Has he been the angriest manager this week in European football in a press conference?
No. I think to be the angriest man in a press conference, you have to have a little bit of ginger stubble that's threatening to become a beard.
Andre Villas-Boas, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Go on, what happened, Andy? Talk us through it.
Well, it was after Marseille had lost at Rennes, and he got quite angry with a journalist from La Provence, the regional paper of Marseille, and told him that he was going to get him.
Right, you're dead.
but that's it.
The incredible thing is,
jumped across the desk.
That sounds bad enough.
You said he had to be restrained.
Yeah, by Ricardo Cavallo, his assistant, who was the
such pair of hands.
Yeah,
who was the voice of reason, which Villas-Boas wasn't, because he was muttering swear words in Portuguese under his breath.
Cavallo was grabbing an ABB card. I used to do this for John Terry every week.
This won't be a problem.
Yeah.
And it continued a bit in the car park afterwards.
Did it really? Taking it to the trenches?
That is so League Two.
Taking it to the trenches, man. Yeah. I love that.
My goodness.
And the great thing, ABB also did this when he was at Spurs. And he finally snapped at Neil Ashton, because Neil Ashton embarked on the most ridiculous campaign against ABB you've ever seen, which was basically because ABB was like a more handsome, multilingual, more successful version of himself, and Ian Ashton didn't like it, even if he didn't realise it himself. It was just subconscious. And then AVB snapped at him, didn't he, saying that he is insulting his integrity, saying that he's always the press are always chasing people, you attacking me, all this kind of, and so he's got a bit of history for it.
Yeah, but it is on Villas-Boas as well, because he famously
sorry, I didn't mean to touch that. Sorry, everyone.
Ooh.
Is that a chilling portent of what's to come? Carry on, Andy.
Bodes well, isn't it?
That was an accident. Not a spoiler.
Yeah.
Is it?
Well.
Yeah, who knows? Find out in a minute.
That actually was played when Andre Villas-Boas attacked me. And I fall back.
Did he hide under the table?
Marcus was on the floor, T-shirt over his head, shouting, I'm the people's champion.
Exactly,
disgrace.
All I could see is Villas-Boas just going through a wall, and that was the end of him.
Yeah, won't see him again, mate.
Indeed, yeah.
Is it time for Four to Score?
I think it is.
Or do you want to finish that point, Andy? No, not bothered. No, fine. All right, Four to Score. Entry to Betway's Four to Score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. That is absolutely key, and further T's and C's apply. Marcus, I believe you got one right last week.
Yes.
So you're back in for game one. You're back firmly on the horse. Are you going to stay on top of said horse when you choose the first goal scorer between Manchester United and Leeds?
I've gone Anthony Martial.
Have you really? Mm. Okay. All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Let's see what comes out in the wash there. Game number two is Sunday evening. We've spoken about this game as well already. It's Big Sam's debut, West Brom v Aston Villa. Andy Brassell.
Well, it's a given that West Brom are having a clean sheet, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
So for that reason, I've gone for Conor Gallagher. And can I just say how reassuring his presence is in the West Brom midfield? For those of us that remember West Brom in the 90s, and particularly the late 90s, you think of Richard Snakers, and just having a midfielder with like shaggy blonde locks in the West Brom midfield, it's how things should be.
I think he's also got a couple of goals this season as
he
well.
He has, yeah.
Okay, so Conor Gallagher. Game number three is Burnley versus Wolves, and our man Vish is up. Let's hear what he had to say.
Hello, Ramblers. Now, usually in this situation, as a four to score regular, he'd have to go for Raul Jimenez. Obviously, unfortunately, with his horrendous injury, I can't pick him, and we wish him the speediest of recoveries. But in his honour, I feel like it's only right to pick a Wolves player. So I'm going to go with Pedro Neto. Now, I thought about Daniel Podence, and now that I've said him out loud, I wonder if he's going to come around and slap me in the face, as a lot of these answers have done over the last few weeks and months. But no, I'm going to stick to my guns. Pedro Neto for my first goal scorer in Burnley versus Wolves.
There we go.
We were teetering on Craig Brown territory there. Just name every player.
Yeah. Well, he's hoping it's not a nothing-nothing result. Game number four is Chelsea v West Ham. That's me. It's on Monday night. And I've gone for Timo Werner. Yeah, I think so. So Anthony Martial, Conor Gallagher, Pedro Neto and Timo Werner are our selections for Betway's Four to Score for this round of the Premier League fixtures. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. You must be aged 18 or over to gamble and make sure you do so responsibly. For more information, it's begambleaware.org. All right then, now it's time for this. One of those games is quite difficult to explain, but you'll get it as soon as you start hearing it. It is indeed time for...
Let me add a little bit of spice to that.
The People's Champion, the lineal champion, the current world title holder, Marcus Speller, on my right, will face off against previous champion, previous number one seed, and popular for the trendies.
Yeah, I think
You're the one with Marcus Mount, you're the mainstream guy. Andy is the kind of... People.
Are you calling me the hipster choice?
Yeah, I think so. Uh-huh. Okay. I think so, yeah. Okay. And how do you feel, Andy? You haven't played for a wee one, have you? Bit rusty? Bit of ring rust?
A little.
Okay. We'll see how you get on.
Class is permanent.
It is, absolutely. Well, we're about to find out which of you is the classier. As ever in this game, to be successful, you need fire in your belly and what?
Head in the freezer.
There we go. Andy Brassel, fucking poor by you. I will get this catchphrase off the ground. It kills me, all right? If I don't see people with T-shirts with that on by the end of next year, I'm going to give up.
My goodness.
Right, here we go. Andy, you get to go first because you're the challenger. Marcus, I know that'll kind of...
That's fine. They're the rules.
They are the rules. We're consistent on those. You know it works. No mucking around. You know I won't stand for it. No stalling, Marcus Speller. We haven't got all day. It is... A six-club man. He's played for six clubs. He retired in 2011.
Right.
He's a midfield player, and his name is Claude Makélélé. Six clubs that Claude Makélélé has played for. Can I have an opening bid from you, please, Mr. Brassel?
Four,
straight off the bat. No mucking around, Marcus. Do you fancy five?
Absolutely not.
Okay, but is Andy your plan again?
I know, but I can't even guess.
All right.
Fair enough. I've just got to hand that over. That's a very strong start from Andy.
Presuming
he gets it right.
Is that in the slot? Would three have been in the slot for you?
I think I would have had a go with three, but I struggle with four. I certainly can't do five.
Great opening gambit by you then,
Andy.
Andy,
look at that. Look at the stare in that man's eyes.
He's loving it.
If he doesn't get the four, I'll be amazed.
Okay, here we go. One at a time then, please.
Nantes.
Started his career there.
Celta Vigo.
Played there as well.
Yeah.
Real Madrid.
Obviously.
Chelsea.
Correct. So that is one to Andy Brassel.
His other two clubs?
Of course. Nantes, he started at, went to Marseille. Mm-hmm. Celta Vigo, Real Madrid, Chelsea, ended at PSG. Paris Saint-Germain. Correct.
Yeah, I had three, and okay. I thought I could maybe guess a fourth, but no, it was
four's,
no way.
Four
no,
was in the slot, wasn't it? It was in the slot. Yeah. Okay, Marcus, the good news is you're up first this time.
Here I go.
This man's played for seven clubs. Mm-hmm. And he's a bit of a legend on the ramble. I was surprised when his name came up, but we hadn't used him before, actually. It's David Nugent.
The big Nuge.
The Nuge.
Nugenio.
England legend.
Nugenio.
Big tournament for England next summer. Not too late.
Yeah.
Not too late for the Nuge. Seven clubs in total, Marcus.
Oof.
Yeah, I'm surprised at that as well, Andy.
Did you remember Andros Townsend last week? I think at 12.
Yeah, it's unreal.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I'll go four.
That's in the slot for me. Right in the slot.
Yeah, I'm not sure I can go more than four.
You want him to name them?
Yeah.
Okay. So four clubs again that David Nugent has turned out for. Probably scored for him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Scored at every club he's been at.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Confident with three, not sure about the fourth. Portsmouth.
That's correct.
Leicester City.
That is also correct.
Preston North End?
Yes, indeed. Two spells.
Yeah. Come on. Now, this is... Did he play? I feel this is ridiculous what I'm about to say.
Well, it's entertainment.
Middlesbrough.
Very well done.
God, blimey.
1-1. Well played. Very good.
Did he play? This is actually. Do you know what? I had two in my mind: Middlesbrough one and Tottenham Hotspur were the other. Yeah, because it was Harry Redknapp, and he scored for Portsmouth against Spurs at White Hart Lane. That's what it was. And I thought, no, there's no way he played for Spurs.
Bury started out at Bury. Okay, I wouldn't know. Preston North End, Portsmouth, Burnley on loan.
Burnley,
Leicester City,
Burnley, yeah.
Middlesbrough, Derby County, and then back to Preston North End.
Yeah.
Okay, Andy, you're up next. This player's played for five clubs. He retired just last year.
Whoa.
How many? Five, did you say?
Yes. It's John O'Shea. I'm trying to think of something funny to say there.
Oh, I believe in John O'Shea.
Yeah. How many can you do?
Three.
Straight off the bat with three.
Straight off the bat with three. Get him to do three.
You don't want four?
No, I don't think he's got three.
All right, nice stuff. It's 1-0, it's poised. This is a great round. Yeah. Right. Okay, so you need to name three clubs that John O'Shea has played for of the five that he turned out for in his 20-year career.
Did he play for Manchester United?
He did indeed. 256 league appearances.
Well, if he played for Manchester United, he definitely played for Sunderland.
Oh, Andy's got this, hasn't he?
Correct.
Sheffield United.
Afraid not, my friend.
Yes!
That's one to Marcus. Straight in there. Not enough thought, in my opinion. He played for Man United. Then he went on loan to Bournemouth.
I wouldn't have got that.
Loan to Royal Antwerp, as a lot of them did.
Yeah. Oh, supposed to, but I still wouldn't have got that.
You know, they got a plaque to Ronnie Woolwork outside.
Big Ron.
Yeah. Mm. Sunderland, and then he ended his career at Reading.
Oh, that's interesting.
Not Sheffield United, I'm afraid. So that is 2-1 to Marcus, and he's up first. He's up first this time.
I'm up first. It's my serve.
A reminder to both of you here.
Come on.
Just generally, that don't forget the player that I name and you name as the club. They have to have played a game for them, okay? Just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
In any competition, of course.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, but a competitive fixture.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Eight clubs for this next player. Marcus, if you get this, you've won. You've defended your title successfully. Eight clubs in total. He is Mario Balotelli.
Ballo.
Brassel's eyes are lit up there. They lit up. Can Marcus get a bid in the slot to make it tough for Brassel? Eight clubs.
Seven.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is massive.
I'm annoyed.
Absolutely massive.
I'm annoyed I can't do the eighth, though.
Absolutely huge.
I'm going to have to go for all of them then, aren't I?
You are.
I've not really got the option.
I think you're going to get all of them. I'm slightly annoyed that I think I've dropped the ball. Yeah. But so I've said seven. That's what
you'll bid a seven. Yeah. I have to accept that.
That seems like a lot, but I'm going to have to go for the eight.
Seven seems like a lot, but you're bidding eight.
I just don't have an option.
Okay.
Well, you do. You could not believe that I've got all those seven.
But I do believe you.
Oh, do you?
I do believe you.
I could have bluffed you.
I do believe you.
He's got faith.
I don't think you have, though.
He's got faith. All right, Andy, so you want to do all eight.
Okay, the fingers are out.
Okay.
Here they go.
One at a time, please. Let me just get this up so I don't mess this up, because people will be fuming. All right, here we go.
Okay. Inter.
That's correct.
Milan.
Correct.
Liverpool.
Correct.
Manchester City.
That's also correct.
Well, I got four so far.
It's four so far, yeah.
Right. You see, this is the problem, the maths.
You're only halfway there.
I know. Brescia.
Correct.
Marseille.
That is also correct. That's six. This is vintage stuff.
Nice.
Yes, very good.
So that was where I was done. They were the seven I had.
This is memories here of Marcus Speller's Alan Boxic. Which is the highlight of the season so far. You need one more.
Okay.
Right. Push him, Luke.
Yeah, I'll give it. Listen, he's eight clubs. He's got seven. I'm going to give him a little bit of space.
Yeah.
I would like an answer from you though, because if you get this wrong, it's over. I'm actually going to prepare the button just in case.
Yeah, he hasn't played for Monza yet, has he?
I can't give you any clues, mate, but I am going to need to hear the name of a club for you, please.
Come on, Andy. What is this?
Let me do it.
6 seconds.
Let me... Come on. You need to give me an answer.
All right, I'm going to have to say Monza, even though it's not Monza.
Marcus Speller wins!
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. He played in Turkey, did he?
No.
Ah!
I have to say, it was a very, very big effort. I think people will applaud you for the effort, but the club, you were right to say he's not played for Monza yet. So that wasn't the right answer.
Yes.
If you'd said Monza, as you just did there, you're obviously that's why you lost. He started his career at Lumezzane.
Oh, fuck the fuck off.
Yes!
That's the only one you missed, I'm afraid.
It's Big Sam getting under the skin again.
I actually knew that.
Oh, dear.
Did well, you, Andy?
I'm sorry
too
to hear
late,
that.
Too late will be the cry.
Sorry to hear that. Sorry, Lumezzane is the team.
Let's have the fifth.
The final player is Gabriel Heinze, which, Andy, you'd have gone first on. So do you want to give us a beard? He's played for 8 clubs in total.
Heinze?
4.
Marcus, would you have gone bigger?
I couldn't do 4.
Give us your 4, Andy.
I'm confident with 3.
Bit of pride. Give us your 4.
Manchester United, Marseille, Paris Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
Oh.
Independiente.
Ooh.
That is an obvious one. You missed it. Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's 4-1 to Marcus. It's Newell's Old Boys has already started. He ended his career there as well. Valladolid, he went to.
What?
Sporting, he was at. PSG, Man United, Real Madrid, Marseille, and Roma.
Well, you do always say...
Roma.
You do always say a quick game is a good game.
It is, and that was a very quick game. Marcus, I tell you what, you have burnished your own reputation there because we thought to ourselves... He's got the title back off Vish. Yeah, yeah. That was a dark day for Luke's game, Vish being the top holder. We need to test him next. And we have tested you with Brassel, and you've smashed him 4-1.
Yeah.
So good on you. Well played.
But that Balotelli one, you see, if Andy's got that first, I think you would have gone 7 as well. And I would have put me... I wouldn't have got the 8.
Did you think you could have had 7?
You know,
I had the 7 he had.
What?
I was confident.
I can never be bothered to count through them all, so I would have said, I reckon, 6.
Mm.
Okay,
and
right.
So you would have won anyway.
Well, who knows, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go.
What we do know is that I'm the champ. And
that's the most important thing.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway, my dears. God bless you all. And we're back on Monday, of course. We have shows next week for you, even though we are in the run-up to Christmas. We never stop.
No.
Until we do. thank you very much, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, good listeners. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.